I pray that the week has been a blessing to each one of you. I pray that this week, that the week that has gone, that you have had a closer to Jesus experience. My time is limited, so I would just want to say happy Sabbath to everyone, and I pray that you have a blessed day today. I'm looking at the Word of God today, the scripture reading, 1 Samuel 17, 23 to 24. I want to move down to verse 26. I just want to read it to you up to verse 29. Verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that kill this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killed him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David's reply was, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? His name was Paul Tillman. You will no doubt have remembered that young man. He was a highly paid 3.6 million contract with the Arizona Cardinals. A celebrity who eventually gave up the NFL career, National Football League career, and departed from his U bride in order to go fight with the special forces in Afghanistan. It is written that he was so moved by the attack on 9/11 that he left it all and eventually gave it all as he was killed. But before he gave his life for his nation, there was a moment of time on April 8, 2002, when he wrote in his diary these words. In the pursuit of athletics, I have picked up a college degree, learned invaluable lessons, incredible people, and made my journey much more valuable than any destination. However, he said, these last few years, and especially after the recent events, the attack on 9/11, I've come to appreciate just how shallow and insignificant my role is. I am no longer satisfied with the path I have been following. It's no longer important. It's no longer important. When man or women get a cause in their hearts, they will make great sacrifice to follow the cause. The question today is, have you got a cause worth dying for? Is there not a cause? Let us pray. Let us pray. Is this or is there not a cause, Lord, that will cause your people to rise up and make any and every sacrifice that your name may be glorified and honored. David asked the same question. Is there not a cause? And today, Lord, as we look at that question, grant us wisdom, grant us understanding, speak to our hearts, and may this day make a difference to each one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Today, the message is taken from the book of 1 Samuel 16 to 17. Now, the powers that be in Israel at the time was King Saul, a man of great stature. Sadly, there came a time when God rejected him. With the rejection, brothers and sisters, there needed to be a replacement. Now, the Lord approached the prophet Samuel with these words. How long will thou moan for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Samuel was so sad for Saul that he had been rejected. So God said to Samuel, move on, get over it, forget about Saul. Fill thy horns with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. Well, I know you're familiar with the story. God bypassed all of the sons of Jesse except David, who was at the time just a boy. Now, not too long after being anointed by God, something happened which gave credence to the saying, little is much when you place it in the master's hands. You see, however, for those who believe stories in the Bible like Jonah, Noah, Daniel, Moses, Samson, story of David are just fairy tales, remember what the word of God says. But God has chosen the foolish, the what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the what? The weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now, the biblical account of David and Goliath is one of the most popular stories from Scripture. It is a lesson of courage, faith, and overcoming what seems impossible odds. Now, the Bible tells us that the Israelites were frozen in fear. The Philistine army had gathered for war against Israel. The two armies faced each other, camped for battle on opposite sides of a steep hill or a steep valley. Now, the question is, what does God have to do before his people put their trust in him? What does he have to do? I guess it seemed like a good idea when the Philistines suggested that a champion of both nations fight in open combat. Now, I can imagine some of the Israelite soldiers, the Hebrew soldiers, were willing to accept the challenge. In other words, you bring your champion and we'll bring ours. I could imagine somebody shouting out loud and clear, send for Goliath. Send for Goliath. Where is he? Oh, Goliath is coming. that Philistine warrior from Gath, who was, the Bible says, over 9 feet tall, who were whose armor wore 125 pounds and carried a 15-pound shield, spear. Now, you can imagine the size of his shield must have been taller than David. Now, all of a sudden, when Goliath took the scene, came on the scene. Now, I could imagine that the brave Hebrew warriors lost all their courage, lost all their bravery. I could imagine as they looked up at Goliath, they said in their mind, look at the size of that brother. It's a death wish. There is no way, they think, that they could take him. If you cannot reach him, how are you going to defeat him? That man is huge. Would you volunteer? Now, because there was no takers, no volunteers, nobody was willing to accept the challenge. So the king made a promise that he who is willing to challenge will be given great riches. I will give you my daughter, and I'll make your father's house free in Israel. I guess with such a promise, that at that point there must have been an avalanche of takers. Imagine riches, the beautiful princess. But you know, there was no takers. You might quicker win the lottery than survive combat with Goliath. No thanks. Even the king, with his height, for he was taller than all the Israelites, looked tiny compared to Goliath. But the fact of the matter is this: Goliath was what is termed a dead man walking. The moment he challenged Israel, in fact, the moment he crossed over into Israel, he became the past. Not the present, not even the future. He became history, if you please. For God had already worked out his downfall. You see, while Goliath was confident of victory, how could he lose? God sent his champion David riding on a donkey to bring nourishment to his brothers near the battlefield. You know, there is a saying that God must have a sense of humor. Well, here is evidence. David is God's champion. Well, you know that saying, never let a little boy do a man's job? I want to tell you today that that statement is not true. Consider this as well. David probably would be the last person on anybody's list to fight Goliath. Now, here is a PowerPoint. Now, David was not chosen because he was young. Not because he was a lawyer, a doctor, and the same goes, or an Indian chief. But because he had the spirit of the living God running through his veins. That's why, saints of God, the Bible says, the word of God says, not by might, not by power, but by what? My spirit, said the Lord. You know that menial job we talk about? That menial job as a shepherd boy did not seem like much. However, David was being trained by God for such a time like this. He was being trained to lead. He was being trained to care. He was being trained to protect, and he was being trained as a warrior. You may well ask, he learned all that from being a shepherd boy? Yep, all that and more. The Bible states when David approached the camp, he must have heard the words of Goliath. And witnessing the shame, as the Bible says, all, not just some, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. They did not hold their ground. They fled. Now, it was at this point in the story that we begin to realize why God anointed David. Now, David, newly appointed, was still a boy. However, the Bible says he was deeply offended by the giant's haughty, mocking challenge. He was zealous to defend the Lord's name. Oh, that there is a David among us today. Someone who would stand up and inquire, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You know, God's servant David, uncompromising truthfulness was both utterly confronting and utterly ego deflating. But I want you to know this, brothers and sisters, it is sometimes hard being God's champion. Because the Bible, Jesus said, in fact, that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country or in his own house. You know, the Bible says that Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men. The Bible says that his anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why comest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle." Eliab was so angered with David that he belittled his brother. "Go back to your few little sheep, and let us who know better sort out this problem. You'll only get in the way." It is at this point that David asked one of the most profound questions in the Bible. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? How can I keep quiet when the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, is being dragged to the Philistine mud?" They were taunting God. They were making fun. They were cursing. Goliath had challenged Israel. "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Give me a man. Give me a man that we may fight." And David was that man. That boy was that man because he had a cause to fight for. And that cause was the name of God. Men and women need a cause, and in Christ, we have that cause. Too often, when faced with burdens, we look at its magnitude rather than the power of God. You see, when that giant criticized, insulted, and threatened, David did not stop or even waver. The cause of God deserves our supreme loyalty. It overrides any earthly ties. While Israel cowered in fear, the Bible said that David ran to the battle. He knew that action needed to be taken. No time for a board meeting. In spite of the discouraging insults and fearful threats, only God's opinion mattered to David. You know, David's faith in God caused him to look at the giant from a different perspective. You see, our problem is that we look at everything from a human or earthly standpoint. And because of this, the battle is already lost. Because the problem then becomes too big for us. To David, Goliath was merely a mortal man defying an all-powerful God. Did you hear what I said? David looked at the battle ahead of him from God's point of view. No, sonny brothers and sisters, whatever happened to I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, is this still in vogue anymore? Do we believe it? Now, David was so filled with God's Spirit, ready to put a stop to the bragging of the uncircumcised Philistine, the king, that the king, Saul, felt compelled to give David his armor. There was something about David, the boy David, that the king, instead of sending that little boy away, he gave him his armor. However, David was not comfortable with his, was only comfortable with his simple sling, a weapon he was skilled at using. You know, I just said a sling. Now, the question is, what was David going to do with just a sling? Can I ask a question? Why was David so confident of victory? You know what scripture says? It says, and he had an helmet of brass upon his head. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. You see, Goliath was like a walking tank. He seems indestructible. I guess that the army of Israel numbered in the thousands. And not one of them gave David a chance. Maybe when David comes up to the giant, he will run away. Let me give you another PowerPoint. It is the little victories in our Christian walk with the Lord that fits us for bigger victories. Did you hear what I said? Hear what I said. For David said to Saul, King Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and he delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he had defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord had delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the paws of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said, unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Now, the lion and the bear may not seem like little things, but compared to Goliath, they were small things. My brothers and my sisters, there is a principle here. As a shepherd boy, his training had made him fearless. His no attitude his no fear attitude came from his reliance and faith on the Almighty God. And as Mordecai said to Queen Esther, who knows whether thou art not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? David's time. Now, armed apparently with nothing, just a sling, but empowered by God, David approached Goliath. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Saints of God, this is why we need to read and preach these stories from the Word of God. These stories will help us remember that the battle is the Lord's, not the pastor's, not the elders, not the church board, not the Seventh-day, not the Stoke Newington SDA Church. Any victory we gain, it is given into our hands by the Lord. Is anybody going to say amen to that? And when it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, then David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Did you hear what I just read? David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. Lord, whatever you gave David, please give me some. Or shall I say this again? Oh, that we have a David in the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. I'm reading this out of context, but there would be 100 conversions to the truth when now there is only one. As he rushed into battle, the Bible says, and David put his hand in his bag and he took out a bomb. Now that's more like it. Oh, sorry. And he took out a stone. You tell me, what in the world is a stone going to do against a heavily armed 9-foot-tall warrior? You know, some of us would be like the prodigal son, fighting the pigs for their food. Why? For we would have bet our life saving that David would be no more. There was some encouraging signs, however. He did kill a lion, and he did kill a bear. However, lions and bears do not wear armor. The Bible says he took thence a stone and slung it. You know, I was going to say, let us be real, but that's, that is what young people say. Can those boyish arms of David generate enough power to penetrate the armor of Goliath? I don't think so. However, do you know what caused Goliath's destruction? It was that he depended on self. He was overconfident. This was a done deal. He was going to kill David. Now, David, on the other hand, remarked, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands. He gave the glory to God, that it was God who was going to give him the victory. And David slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. Now, I do not know if David deliberately aimed at Goliath's forehead. Who can know? Goliath had a helmet on. Did he take the helmet because he expected the combat to last but a few seconds? I don't know. But I do know that overconfidence can be dangerous. I personally believe that with his training and with the power of God, when the stone left the sling of David, there was only one place it was going. Now, if you've ever been hit by the power of God, you will understand what has happened to Goliath. For the Bible says, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon the earth. Now, I can only imagine the force that stone must have been traveling to sink into the forehead of Goliath. Scholars tell us, or researchers tell us, that a sling could hurl a stone of 25 grams, about 1 ounce, at 100 kilometers per hour, 62 miles per hour, to hit something 200 meters or so away. Game over. For when the stone hit the forehead of Goliath, the Bible tells us that Goliath fell down. We don't know whether he was unconscious or whether the stone killed him, although the text says that it killed him. But also, when you read the next verse, it said when David cut off his head and killed him. My version is simply this. When the stone struck Goliath, it hit him with such force that he went unconscious and he fell down to the ground. And David picked up Goliath's heavy sword and he cut off the head of Goliath. So much for overconfidence. The question is, are you facing a giant problem or impossible situations at this time? Stop for a minute and refocus. Can you see the case more clearly from God's vantage point? Do you need to take courageous action in the face of insults and fearful circumstances? Do you trust, my brothers and my sisters, that God will fight for you and with you? I would submit to you that there are giants defying the name of the Lord in this day. The question is whether there is in our church, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, a young male, a female, who will step forward to cry out from his heart with trust in Jesus alone. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? That's the question I want you to meditate upon today. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Heavenly Father, Is there not a cause? I believe the question is yes. There is a world out there dying for want of a savior. The devil has tried to destroy many and put many in the grave before they can hear this message of salvation during the pandemic. And the enemy of our faith will bring anything he can to stop many from hearing the word. It thus becomes imperative that as a people that we obey the commandment of Jesus himself to go ye in all the world, proclaiming the gospel to every kindred, nation, and tongues and people. Our world, O Lord, is to Ewington and surrounding areas. We don't have to go far. So help us to realize that where there is a cause, and if we as God's people stand up and resist the devil, we will be victorious. So let today, O Lord, be the beginning of a victorious walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.